magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, December, January 10th, 2018.
Oh, you got the 18 right. Most people are like stopping and having to go 7, 8.
Yeah, I think I can get that right. It's good that I even get the day of the week right, but all is good. Actually, you'll see to your right that box. I've been signing thank you letters. I think over 500 different households will be getting this in the coming days. Finally finished. That took about 3 days, 3 to 4 days. I won't say full days, but hours here, hours there. Got those signed. I have this flyer in front of me. This will be going in those letters along with a little newsletter update with my 8 God sightings for 2018, different ways I see God at work through this radio ministry. But if you were tuned in yesterday, you heard about the Huntley Brown announcement and Tammy Renee Harris, who's going to be joining us. Stephen, after our singing men rehearsal, says, "You know, Tammy Renee, I think she could be a part of things." I said, "Really?" I said, "Let's do it." And so
she's going to come and join Huntley Brown?
I think so.
Okay.
I kind of announced it yesterday as it's going to happen, or it looks like it's going to happen. But Steve had suggested it and thought it would work out. So I said, "Okay, I'll go with it." So I played a song, that Whispering Hope, yesterday on the edition of Mark and Friends that she sung on our CD. And that's going to be delivered, I think, tomorrow or Friday, maybe even today. We'll see. They sent me a notice, an email yesterday, that it's being shipped. And I think because we have 1,000 of them coming, it'll be in about 15 of those cases. I don't know if they pack 50 or 50.
I don't know how many came last time when you did the Singing Men once.
Yeah. Let's see. We had about 9 or 10. So, yeah.
So, was it 300? Because it was 3 big boxes.
Yeah, 3.
You were on vacation. I had to go to your house and get them.
Yeah, that was. Thank you.
I remember that. I remember carrying the 3 big boxes down to your basement.
And I think in those 3 boxes, there were 2 boxes. I forget how they are because I have some in the back there. Yeah, they're kind of heavy. Thank you.
All 3 of them.
Yeah, a lot of good things, though. This will be a big week, and I think the stands that I ordered about 6 weeks ago for the Prime Life Times newspaper, we have them in Red Baron Red. Red Baron Red? Yeah, I guess that's you would call it. Red Baron Color, Red Baron Red. Those should be arriving later this week. So we'll see. That's tomorrow or Friday. We'll see. But a lot of things happening. But the Huntley Brown thing, it's a free will offering, so you don't have to necessarily call in and tell us you're coming unless you want to meet with Huntley Brown for a special meet and greet, and some desserts will be available and some snacks, and there'll be preferred seating. So that's a $10 pre-registering charge just so we can plan and then have the seating reserved for you. But otherwise, it's going to be general seating. For those of you unfamiliar with Huntley Brown, which will be probably many, if not most of you, he's been here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area a number of times at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. I think anyone that's a member of that church that has seen him perform will come out for him. He's just that good. Yeah. But for those of you unfamiliar with him, he's done a number of Billy Graham crusades. He's presented all over the world. He's a phenomenal pianist, and yet he shares some testimony time and just his disposition and fun. He's from the Bahamas, so he has that kind of, and let's praise the Lord together, and just a delight. And so with he singing and presenting and playing the piano, and the Singing Men will be opening up for him. I think we're going to do 5 or 6 songs and then 2 or 3 with him, kind of like what we did with Ivan Parker in the past. And then Tammy Renee will feature, I think, her 2 or 3 songs. And she's sung with him. She knows Huntley Brown from some other occasions where they presented together. So it'll be a delightful evening. It's happening Sunday night, January 28th, 7 p.m., right here next door from the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square. It'll be at the First United Methodist Church. It's that old, I don't know, 100-year-old stone church. I think it can sit 600. The acoustics are great there in the sanctuary. And there's lots of parking here at Lincoln Square, so that won't be an issue. And come on out. Free will offering will be taken to help defer the cost of bringing him in and such. But it'll be at 7 o'clock on January 28th. But if you want that special reserve seating and a meet and greet with dessert, then you need to call ahead and pay $10 per person. And you can call us at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. That's Huntley Brown, Sunday night, January 28th. And that'll kind of coincide with our one-year anniversary of being up and running here at the Great News Radio Center. We're going to have them here in the mall. And then we just thought with the doors opening up and the colder temperatures and kind of like you'd be sitting there and then all of a sudden in the north.
He's
entrance.
From the Bahamas.
So,
that would just kill
his
him.
His fingers would freeze.
Yeah, that would just kill him.
So we just elected, and thank you, God, for working out all the arrangements so we could be next door in that nice sanctuary. So Sunday, January 28th. Mm-hmm. Come on out and invite your friends and family members. And those of you that are anticipating your 2017 giving letter, kind of the year-end letter that we put together so that you can utilize when you have to do your taxes, that'll be coming hopefully in about a week. We're still waiting on the newsletter to be printed, and then I'll insert that along with this little flyer. So I think you'll be blessed and encouraged by the update that I'll give on how we see God work. And I guess I narrowed it to 7 or 8 categories of things that we see God touching and reaching people through this radio ministry. So be looking for that, and certainly be in prayer as you read it and read through it and see how you can be involved in this new year. Mm. Ah, new year. What, 9 days in? 10 days in now?
10 days in.
Marching right along. Well, you know, it's been interesting. Mary Welchel, you know, last week, I think we did it over the phone, right?
Yeah.
It's been a couple weeks since I've met up with you, but she's been doing this whole series on the one word that you
Oh, yeah, you
do.
Told me that you were really big on trying to figure out what is this one word that's going to guide the rudder for the year.
She's been doing a whole series. Yesterday I was listening to her, and she's like, now focus on this whole year on that one word. And how, you know, I was like, oh, gosh, I was listening to that Moody program last week, and it just kind of came to me, just a word, but I didn't place a lot of importance on it. I just said expectancy, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do in light of putting together this newsletter and so forth. But she's turned it into a whole year's pilgrimage, if you will. And I was like, oh, gosh, that's a little overkill. But, you know.
Well, I think that, you know, anything you can do to shore up people doing it. And so I think if she's probably trying to just, you know, if I can keep this in front of people till they build it in to become some kind of a habit, then maybe they're going to be much more likely to be successful in the new year, you know, with whatever their word was and whatever that word means to them in terms of the year.
Yeah, that's that's good. What do they say? It takes almost 30 days to create a habit that's ongoing.
Sure.
I mean, you can't just go through something for a week or 10 days, they say. To have the pattern be established, it's like 31 days or, I don't know, if that's
Well, and most New Year's resolutions fail miserably. I think it's, 60-70% fail miserably in the first 10 days. You know, they just kind of go out the window. You know, you start out the new year with these great, you know, aspirations. I don't agree. You know, I read a thing not too long ago. It was kind of interesting. It said if you do something different 1% each day, in 100 days you have 100% change. and so it's just do 1% different, 1% more. But it really flies in the face of how we believe and what we think, because we think that's such a small increment that it doesn't make that much of a difference. You know, so even the guy who was saying this was saying, hey, you know what? Do you journal? Maybe that's difficult for you, and you want to start this practice of journaling. Write one word. Tomorrow, write 2 words. You know, and he took it down to the very basics, but he was saying, you know, if you did that, how many words would you have in 100 days? You'd have 100 words. You'd have a full page. And so now all of a sudden you're writing a full page of journaling. Or, you know, or do one thing more. Walk one block, you know, then walk 2 blocks, you know, or something. I don't know. But
have,
I mean,
have one piece of candy, have
one piece
two
of candy,
pieces
of candy.
Or, have a bag of candy.
But I think, you know, it really is. I mean, it really doesn't, we don't think that small incremental change is really going to do much, because we live in this culture where everything's got to be big and everything's got to be the big change. And I put that thing to bed and now I'm doing this thing instead. And, you know, and the truth is, though, is that our willpower and our resolutions, our nature, it doesn't work with all of that. I mean, it just doesn't seem to work. We can't make those big kind of sharp turns without something else to kind of push us into that. Generally, when people make sharp turns, it's because, you know, maybe there was a health thing that happened and now they're going to eat differently, because if they don't, they might not be around anymore. You know, or I need to exercise because if I don't, I might not be around anymore.
Right.
You know, or I'm going to be different in my marriage because, you know, we've kind of hit this point where it's either we're going to get divorced or we're going to stay married. You know, and so I think that without some sort of big kind of moment to kind of make us turn direction, you know, make us change direction, we're not going to do that on our own. We're not very good at doing that. I know I'm not good at doing that.
You know, and they call that the CSE, the significant emotional experience or something. Jewel, mm-hmm. I go back, there was a book, I don't know, this might have been about 30-something years ago. It was some of those Jewel trainings we mm-hmm. went to. And they had this book, and for the life of me, I can't think. It had to do, you know, it was very secular, the id, ego, and superego, and what motivates us and stuff, and how to create change. And I always remember this, the SEE, the significant emotional experience that can be the catalyst or mm-hmm. the crossroad that you come to that will help you make the change. And it was always a thing that I pondered about. Sometimes it does take those significant emotional experiences to change, or, you know, hopefully that comes through the conviction of the Holy Spirit so
right.
that the change is God-inspired or God-led or God-driven or directed. Because, yeah, we'll see different habits or patterns in our lives, and we're like, Lord, outside of you really creating me a new heart, it's never going to change because of that flesh always doing the battle against us or warring against our souls.
Well, and I think that maybe, you know, I think the problem is that we want to focus on our habits, we want to focus on our patterns, we want to, and certainly we ought to look at our habits and patterns because they tend to be symptoms of something greater that's happening within us. But true change, I mean, if you're a Christian and you're listening, true change only comes through the power of God, only comes through the power of His Holy Spirit, the conviction of His Holy Spirit. And so whatever it is that, you know, is kind of something you need to change. Number one, I think you always need to sit back and go, is this change something that is God-honoring, God-glorifying? Mm-hmm. Or is it self-serving? Do I need to lighten my schedule? Because if somebody was to pick up my schedule and look at it, it would say that I don't care that much about the Lord. You know, it doesn't have, you know, I always tell people that your schedule will tell, you know, just as you kind of had an anecdote that says, you know, if you give me your checkbook, I can tell you what matters most to you.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you what, if you give me your schedule, I can also tell you that. Because if your schedule doesn't have written down times, if you're highly busy, it doesn't say pray somewhere on there, I don't think you're praying. If it doesn't say time to read scripture, time to study, time to worship, time to pray, chances are you're probably not doing it. Because when you open up that schedule, you start to look at all the things you have written down. You go, okay, I need to do this. Okay, I need to do this. Okay, I need to do this. And you start to get in the mode of doing. And we love that. We love to be human doings rather than human beings. And so the being part is very hard, to just be still and to get with the Lord. But that's going to be the only way we're going to have true change. So in 2018, I keep telling people, you know, what does your schedule look like? Because what your schedule looks like will dictate with me where you are with the Lord. And that really is the thing that you probably need to address more than anything. You know, we could all get in better shape. We could all eat less junk. We could all get more rest. We could all be better in our relationships. I mean, take your pick. What we could all manage our money better, every single one of us. Even those of you who think you got it nailed, I bet you that there are still places where if you could nail it better. We could all do that. But listen, all of those things have a lesser impact. Let's think big picture. Is your resolution, the thing that you will be resolute about in 2018, have eternal impact? And that is because you are saying, I want more than anything to be 2018 to be the year that I fall in love with the Lord like never before. And maybe you love the Lord. But let me tell you what, I love my wife, but there still is moments where you look at her and you're like, I really love her. Oh my gosh, is she gorgeous. You know, and we just have to realize that we have seasons of apathy where even with the Lord, where we're like, you know, I know you're there, Lord. I love you. I'm worshiping you. Then we have other seasons where we're like, gosh, I just can't get enough. Like, He's overwhelming me. And so I wonder what 2018 would be like if we were resolute about the things of the Lord. Now, we started a series of teachings at the church on family worship. We want to reclaim family worship. And it's really interesting because we're going to be studying the book of, well, we began to study, but we're going to be looking at the book of Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter. And Deuteronomy means in the Greek, second telling. And so when you begin to open up the book of Deuteronomy, you get particularly like to chapter 5, you see Moses talking about the Ten Commandments. And so there are some people who, lacking some biblical knowledge and understanding, would go, well, this is a problem. Why is Moses talking about the Ten Commandments again? Those are in the Exodus. It's again here. Why is the Bible repeating itself? Well, the Bible repeats itself because the generation that received the Ten Commandments back in the Exodus, they rebelled and were in rebellion. And so instead of going into the promised land, they circled out in the desert and they died.
Yeah, died off.
Yeah, and so in Deuteronomy chapter 5, there is this new generation that was not part of those who had been saved from Egypt and saved from exile by God's grace. And so Moses is telling them everything they need to know about God. This is the second telling. He's telling them everything they know to be obedient. That's in chapter 5 he's telling about. And chapter 6 is all about obedience. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. But what's fascinating is when you read the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells this next generation everything they need to know to love the Lord. Everything. And then we get to Deuteronomy, the end of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. So Moses is looking over the promised land. He lays his hands on Joshua. He prays over Joshua. Joshua receives the mantle of leadership. Moses dies off. And then we go into the book of Joshua. And you don't even really need to know a lot about the book of Joshua. All you need to know is the song, right?
Joshua.
Yeah. And the walls came tumbling down. Boom. That's the book of Joshua. Joshua brings the people into the land. And then we get to the book of Judges. And the book of Judges, in the second chapter of Judges, says, there arose a generation who did not know the Lord, nor did they worship him. And it says this, it's fascinating. In the middle of chapter 2, it says, and they were in great distress. Now, the Hebrew word there for distress means bondage. It means to be tied up. They were once again slaves. They were bound up. But they weren't bound up by a human captor. They were bound up by a spiritual captor because they had forgotten the story of the Lord. They had fallen out of love with their one true love, this God of Israel, Yahweh, who saved them from captivity, who brought them up, who by his grace had Moses tell them the story. They forgot to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and might, to write the, you know, talk about these things when you lie down and when you get up and when you walk along the Lord and when you lay down to sleep, tie them as, you know, tie them upon your wrists and as frontlets upon your forehead. They forgot all of those things, and they were in great distress and in great bondage.
Isn't part of that, is that the beginning of Judges where they were doing as they saw fit in their own eyes?
That's the end of Judges.
Oh, gosh. So
the book of Judges ends, and there was no king in Israel, and everybody did as they pleased.
Okay, yeah. Oh.
Did as they pleased.
It only got worse.
It only gets worse. But here's the reason why I tell you that in 2018, I wonder if your one resolution, the thing that you set yourself resolutely to, is to fall in love even more with the Lord. Because what the book of Judges, what that whole movement teaches me, from Deuteronomy to Joshua to Judges, is that in the span of one or two generations, if we don't love the Lord with all of our heart, all our soul, all our might, all our muchness, and all of our strength, we will stop telling the story, and there will be a generation that will be bound up in distress and bondage. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here, but I have to believe that everybody who loves the Lord and is listening to this program right now would not want for their children or their children's children or their children's children's children to be bound up in bondage and enslaved to a story other than the story of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, listen, we need to love the Lord with a greater breadth that loves for the generations. That loves and says, I'm going to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and might right now, not just for me, but for my son and for my son's sons and for his sons. Because the more I love the Lord, the more apt I am in the overflow to pour that into other people's lives.
Hmm. I was thinking also another way of looking at the schedules, you know, if you look at somebody's checkbook or you look at their schedules, but I thought, oftentimes we can fill our schedules with all these church things, seemingly good things, seemingly God-honoring things, at the expense of neglecting time with our family or other things. So there's that balance also to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our families, love our neighbors, and put into practice that time with God. So it's not just doing and getting caught up in all these things and then being angry or upset or short-tempered because we're so busy doing the church work.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's the interesting thing about what we're doing as a church, the shift that we're making, because what we're really saying is we're saying that we believe what happens in your home is actually more important than what happens at the church. I want to move us from being church-centered to being home-centered, because I believe this. I believe that the greatest worship, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, if you do Deuteronomy 6 in your home, I believe that you will have a greater sense of worship in the Lord than you will ever have at church. And so here's my example. We have family devotional every morning. It happens at 7 o'clock. Between 7 and 7.05, everybody gets around the table. I'm just going to tell you right now, it is generally, usually, always a train wreck. It is. There's four kids. There's my wife and I. It's first thing in the morning. Everybody's trying to wake up. Everybody's got to get off to school. And it generally is tough. Somebody's laying on the floor. Somebody's picking their nose. Somebody's spilled their drink. Somebody's done something. It's always hard. It really is. And so generally, I'm just being honest, we finish family devotionals and I feel like we failed. I know why people don't do family devotionals, because there's everything in your heart that when you finish that, you feel like, what's the point of this? What is the point of doing this? And so it was about, it was right before Christmas. So we were doing family devotionals, and it was going wonderfully, as usual. I mean, my kids all got saved. The neighbors got saved. It was amazing.
The Shekinah glory was coming through
the glory
windows.
Of God fell upon the table. Actually, it was maple syrup. It spilled everywhere. And everybody was kind of yelling at each other. It was not going well. It was not going well. And so we ended by singing a song. We sang, Grace, Grace, God's Grace, Grace that is not good. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of our sin. And I was like, we're done. Thank goodness. And so I'm sitting at the table, I'm drinking my coffee, and I've got a pretty sour disposition because it didn't go well. And I was just glad we sang the song and we were done and everything. Let's just get on with the day. And so I'm watching the kids get off to school, my two daughters putting on their backpacks, and they're heading out the door, and I hear them, Grace, grace, God's grace, grace. And so my daughters left out that morning singing this song on their hearts and on their lips, and they went to the bus stop singing this song. And let me tell you what, it was beautiful. And I love my church, and I love gathering together with my church. But there was something in that moment that was more beautiful than the best band, than the best gathering, than the greatest preaching I've ever heard. It was beautiful, and it was wonderful. And it made me at church that next Sunday want to worship even more, because I wanted to thank God for what he had done during that week. Mm. And so I'm just telling people, I think some of the greatest worship you're going to have is not going to happen in church. It's going to happen at home. And Sunday becomes the overflow of all this wonderful worship that you have all week long with your family. And you're building there into the generations. You're building into the lives of your children so that they can become worshipers too. And I think that that's good work. I think that's Deuteronomy 6 work. So I wonder if maybe everybody might set themselves to the task in 2018. I'm with you. I want to lose a few pounds. I'm with you. I want to eat a little healthier. I'm with you. I want to sleep a little more. I'm with you. I want to love my wife a little better in 2018. But will you come with me and love the Lord your God more than you have? And you know what? Maybe today you just got to love him 1% more. Maybe tomorrow 2%. But in 100 days, you would love the Lord your God 100% more. And that's a huge shift. Mm.
Those incremental baby steps.
Yeah, yeah.
That accomplish great things. Ooh, I know what I need to do today. Spend a little more time with the Lord, thanking him and praising him and surrendering to him and worshiping him and bringing along a friend on that journey and encouraging them to bring me along on their journey.
Yeah.
Dialogue and share and grow together. And that's part of what we desire to do with this radio ministry, in and through it, to be a vessel that God uses to bring hope and healing and transformation and that redemptive message and the good news message that Jesus Christ came, and he didn't just come. He showed us the Father. He revealed truth, and yet he brought us into that relationship with him through his finished work, dying on the cross, and yet we have the hope because he rose from the dead and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding for us, and he's going to be returning today for his own. And so we anticipate that time and live for him and live to be a part of his redemptive work here on earth, encouraging others. All right. Well, hey, you got me fired up, Jason. Got to spend some time with God now and clarify and grow and learn and be that vessel, ambassador, that disciple of Jesus today. I hope you're on that journey too, a journey to let God work in and through you and to grow and to see value in all those around you so that we can be that fragrance of Christ to bring home. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.